Welcome to At the Organ.
Hello, I'm Brent Johnson. Thanks for joining me today for part four of What I Did This Summer. It's hard to think of summer right now when we're in the middle of this drastic cold snap. It was a warm and rainy day in May when we recorded this. In fact, I think you can hear thunder in the background of some of the clips. Horst Buchholz, organist of the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, and I both live in a neighborhood in the southern end of St. Louis known as Carondelet. People have been living here on the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River since 1767. It was incorporated as an independent city and annexed by the city of St. Louis in 1870. A group of nuns from France settled here in 1836 and became the start of the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. In 1897, they built an ornate chapel, and as we now know, a mechanical-action Kilgan organ was installed in the rear gallery shortly thereafter. Unfortunately, the pipe facade blocked the rose window in the rear wall, so the organ was reconfigured, and then later the organ was electrified, removing the mechanical action, and a separate console was moved closer to the gallery rail. That happened about 1924, which is when we believe the entire organ to have been originally built at the time. Since that date, Horst has dug into the files and discovered the original story of the organ. He and I have also tuned the organ thoroughly since this recording was made. The chapel and surrounding buildings were undergoing some exterior brickwork at the time, so you can hear some construction equipment moving around in the background. The audio starts as we were setting up microphones and cameras.
So, tell me what you're playing there, Horst.
That was just a hymn.
Just keep talking.
It was not much at all. It was just like a little Catholic hymn from the homeland, Deinem Heiland, Deinem Lehrer, a hymn that was for Corpus Christi.
Hi, I'm Brent Johnson, and today we are in Carondelet neighborhood in St. Louis again, where we were just about 3 weeks ago. With me today is Dr. Horst Buchholz. Horst is the organist and director of music at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, where you play the largest organ in town. Is that correct?
I think so. I have not counted the pipes, but people tell me there's, 7,680?
We'll visit that organ sometime when we have a bit more time than we do today.
Maybe we have the time to count the pipes.
We'll do that then. But today we're in the chapel of the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. It houses a Kilgan organ that was from 1924. So we're just a few blocks up the street from where we were a few weeks ago, but we're 22 years in the future and we get a completely different kind of instrument than we had on that little tracker organ. This one is completely electropneumatic. And two manuals, and let's figure out how many ranks we've got, because I don't know. So let's start with the swell. What have we got?
Well, on the swell, we do have a violin diapason. Let's start with that.
So it's almost a soft principle. It's not very stringy at all. So
right.
Diapason and violin.
And then there's a stop diapason. Softer side, there is an aeoline. Of course, with the celeste.
It's very soft.
Yes, and we actually hear some background noise from outside that is louder than
instructions, louder than the organ. Unfortunately. So then we have a four-foot flute harmonique.
Yes.
Sounds like an open flute. So then after that we have a four-foot violina, which is something you don't see in a lot of later organs, four-foot string. Flautina. Which is a very narrow scale flute. It sounds metal, probably open.
Yeah. But with the violina and the aeoline, I think we have a nice string chorus here. With the obligatory octave couplers, 16 and 4.
What happens if you use the violin diapason instead of the aeoline for a bigger string E flat?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have these two forefoot stops here, the flute harmonic and the violina, and they blend pretty well together, although they're very contrasting. Here's the flute, violina, and together.
And because of the electric action, you can use the 16-foot subcoupler, you have a swell to swell 16, and almost make those into an 8 and 4 individually, or use them as an 8 and 4.
Right,
so
yeah.
You got that, which a lot of Bach works don't, and you can use those 4 foots as 8 foots, and you forget about that, so that's handy.
Well, in some organs we find a 4 foot octave coupler built for up to 72 pipes, but really, that would be an interesting test.
It might be 73.
Yes?
Yeah. So we have 73 note manual, so your 4 foots even go up to be 2 foots, and your 8 foots could be 4 foots. So
right.
With just these, now how many ranks have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 flute pipes. And then we have two more reeds.
Yes, there is an oboe 8 foot.
9, so you actually can get twice as many. So. Very nice oboe, and then we also have a vatulana.
Yes.
But that's a lovely vatulana.
Yes, it is.
And you can blend that. How does that sound with our string ensemble if we add the box to that?
Maybe with a 16 foot or?
Let's just try that. Closed down, the organ is softer than the construction we're doing on outside.
Again, even with 1, 2, 3, 4 stops out there.
Yeah, but that's all.
Six.
That.
Yeah.
So all of that's completely enclosed and in a box that shuts down very nicely, so it must have fairly heavy doors on it. Let's jump down to the grade and see what do we have here.
We have an open diapason 8.
It's a noisy one. One, except it's bigger. It's bigger in scale. This is a bigger room, of course, so it makes sense. But we've got some rattly ones in the facade. The 8 foot diapason is out here. But then we have an 8 foot viola da gamba next to that. That's much softer than the diapason is.
Yes, but I bet they blend pretty well. A little overtone to the
brightness to it. And then an 8 foot melodia, another open flute. And then, of course, the ever present Dulciana in the grate, which. Just to mention, we have a great box. Everything in the grate is everything. Well, the 8 foot open is outside.
Probably the 8 foot open is not in the.
So the 8 foot is the only thing that's not out.
viola is enclosed and probably everything except the 8-foot diapason.
And then there's a 4-foot octave. My guess is that actually separate or is that just an extension of the open?
Let's check that.
No, it sounds different. It's a separate 4-foot octave. So they haven't quite, in 1924, gotten into all this severe borrowing that Kilgan did on a lot of organs this size. So what do you think?
There's no 2-foot on the grate, so we have to use our grate octave coupler in order to get a little more brightness there. And
so the 1902 organ we looked at did have a 2-foot and a mixture in the grate, so they were already building these German choruses that he knew, but of course we should add, in 1902, George Kilgan actually died. So this organ was built by the company that was run by his son, even though the label says George Kilgan and son, it was his son Charles Kilgan. So the another example, in 20 years, the design of these instruments has changed completely, and they're going for a completely different idea, more symphonic, less classical in design.
Well, and then probably also serving the Roman Catholic liturgy in the 1920s, where we still had the old Latin Mass. So the organ has a lot of accompaniment functions during the service, which will be probably different from the Lutheran.
So you were playing a lot of counterpoint in the Bach chorales, I think.
Yeah, well, I doubt whether they were playing much Bach in the small parish church.
So we have a full set of couplers, swell to grate 8, 4, and 16, and then grate to grate 4 and 16. So yeah, you don't have a ton of brightness, you don't have a ton of upper work, but you can make things happen by coupling down. I mean, you do have the 2-foot flautina you can couple. Four. They can do a 1-foot on the grate if you need something sparkly and bright. And then we have one reed in there. We have a trumpet in the grate. Did we talk about the flute d'amour? Let's keep
going.
So we have one more flute in there. We have a 4-foot flute d'amour, which I assume is an open flute.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very light. Compare that to the 8-foot melodia. How do those two compare? That's still pretty gentle. So very smooth, gentle sounds in this organ. The biggest stop we have on there seems to be the open diapason, which really sings into the room. But we also have a trumpet. What does the trumpet sound like? For a little tuning, but that's a big bright trumpet.
Rather bright for that period.
Not huge, but bright. Yeah, and then who knows if it's actually the exact sound. You know, we were talking about this with the trumpet down the street in the 1902 Kilgan. Maybe things have been altered a little bit. They could probably even use a little revoicing now to smooth it out. But it's a nice big trumpet. And we didn't talk about it. We actually do have a real 16 in the swell that we could couple down. If you didn't want to play the 16 in the pedal, which is the 16-foot Borden, and I am going to guess that that's the same as the stop diapason. 8-foot.
Probably is. Let's just check that.
No,
it's not.
It's a completely independent. This is
independent rank, yes.
I'm not familiar with Kilgan organs that have this much string. So there's nothing borrowed in this instrument except maybe the pedal. But so we have a complete 16 there that we can use. Play that a little bit. What does it sound like at the bottom?
The 16-foot Borden.
It's very soft.
That's a manual 16, which really carries.
It's got a lot of fundamental. It's not loud, but it's definitely, you can feel it. So what does our 16, 8, and 4 sound like then in the swell? Our flutes, our stop diapason, and then our flute harmonique, and our 2-foot flautino. There's our whole flute chorus. Imagine if the tremolo worked, that would probably sound like a Hammond, because those flutes are so
The tremolo of those ages were usually very, very fast. Yeah. So now we have the violin diapason and the violina, so you see that we have sort of a chorus here with the 16 and 2.
So there's a lot of color you can do. There's a lot of things you can do. So how many ranks did we finally decide? These are all straight. So
these are all straight.
17 ranks on the manuals.
Yes, and then I think that this Borden here is the same that we have on the swell.
You're right.
Yes, and then there is a Lieblich gedeckt in the pedal, which is even softer.
So that's an independent pedal 16 that we're doing, sorry.
And then there is a violoncello. Sounds like an open wood.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like a big open. Kilgan was great at making those huge.
Yeah, it really carries the whole.
Shake the fuse, really. So we have a total of 19 ranks. This instrument is the same size as the two manual tracker. I had no idea. But it's completely different sort of sound, but equally as flexible and as well thought out and as well designed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they were still doing very good instruments back then. So what do we have? What other features do we have on the organ? We have three shoes down here.
Right. So we have the swell box for the second manual swell division, and then we have the swell box for the first manual, the great, except the open dive base and everything is enclosed there. And then this, I assume, would be a crescendo, right?
Sounds like it brings on everything but the reeds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we have two toastbloons down here as well.
Yes, this one is a sforzando.
That brings on everything and the reeds.
And the reeds. And then this one, let's see what this is. This is just the great coupler.
Yeah.
The great pedal coupler.
Right. And there's one indicator light for both the crescendo and the sforzando.
Yes, I think when the light is on, it's getting louder.
So you just know something is on, it's going to make noise.
Right. And then we have a couple of pistons here.
Yeah, we do.
So let's see what this one does. It seems like a mechanical
piston. It feels like it, yeah.
So we have a pianissimo here, and we have a piano, and then we have a forte, basically, and this seems to be just an 8-foot, 4-foot, 2-foot registration.
So these are mechanical. These are probably, then to set them, you actually just hold the stops down with one hand and press which piston you want to say. So let's turn that off.
And see whether that changes that.
It does.
It does. Uh-huh.
That's how that works. That's all you have to do. We have four pistons per manual, and they also affect the pedal stops on each of those four. I saw those going down.
Yeah, the swell seems to affect the pedal as well.
Does the grate do that as well?
Okay, let's see that.
We don't have it canceled.
No, with an orchid side, we just swipe once across the.
Yeah,
it does that too. So
they're divisionals, but they affect the pedal.
They affect the pedal as well.
Sticky action, but yeah, they're still there.
They're still there.
That's the way they did that in 1924.
And who knows who saved these registrations? I mean, that would be actually a little detective work to find out.
I want to do some looking inside, but before we do that, let's do a preview of your piece you're going to play, and then also a closer so that we can take the cameras out from here.
Let's pause here a second, because I have so many pieces that I have to decide.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to look around the organ.
Yeah, look around the organ a little bit, and then I'll decide actually what is it's just one piece, maybe, or two very short ones.
Looks like there could have been a console here. This panel comes out in the middle. I wonder if there was a tracker behind this thing the whole time.
I doubt that.
So.
You think so?
I don't think it's possible. It's just, I've seen so many Wix organs like that, or at least the console was right in the, I bet it maybe the console was just up there, because this wood is different, so something's been removed down here. See, this floor is different. The platform used to come out farther, so there used to be a console up here.
Yeah, I thought, what can I play? This actually, you know, I have a plan to make a CD, right?
Really?
Yeah, with American organ music player and American organs.
Oh, very good. Okay.
And so I thought on each CD I want to feature three organs, like 20 minutes of music on each.
Yeah.
And I thought a start, the cathedral has to be on there for something, but I was going to start maybe here with this organ and do some E.L. Ashford.
Yes.
Female composer here for the Sisters of the Coronation, little pieces that would demonstrate the organ, and then perhaps the rock church with, I have some pieces by Coleridge Taylor,
yeah.
African-American composer.
It's British,
though. Look it up. What did we do?
Born in England, maybe.
Well, born in England, and then...
Coleridge Taylor. English composer and conductor.
Oh, English?
Yeah.
He died in England, too? But he was an
English composer, mixed race, father was Sierra Leone, referred to by white New Yorkers as the African Mahler. He had three tours in the United States.
Counts. Yes,
he was brought up in Surrey.
Oh, then he doesn't qualify.
He studied at RCM.
No, he doesn't qualify.
And he worked under Stanford. He was professor at Crystal Palace School of Music. Yeah, he was British. So let's hear a little bit of this organ. What have you got here to play for us?
Well, I thought, what is fitting for an organ of this period? And there was a composer that was actually frequently published in a periodical called The Organist. Shorter pieces, useful for service as well as for concerts. And this composer's name is E.L. Ashford. And you wonder, who was this guy? And what was his real name? Well, her real name was Emma Louise Ashford. She was born in 1850 in Delaware, and then moved around quite a bit with her family, was in Chicago for a long time, and wrote over 600 pieces of music. But because women composers were probably not quite as much appreciated in those days as they are today, she very frequently just gave her initials, and people had to guess who is E.L. Or what does that stand for. And I have two little pieces here. One is called In the Twilight, a very charming piece, which shows off the flutes here on the swell, and then the oboe.
Thank you.
Secondly, a piece by E.L. Ashford is a postlude in F, it shows diapason choruses, and then in the end, for a brief period, the full order.
All right, let's hear it. Thank you for showing us this organ today. 1924 Kilgan of 19 ranked here at the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. It's a really well-designed little instrument.
It is, and it is definitely suitable for the liturgical use that was in practice back then. And I think it can play quite a few of pieces of organ literature as well. When you, of course, have to think, I mean, even when they played Bach in those days, when they did not expect that everything had a mixture. And if you look some of the older Bach editions of that time, I mean, they were really done with these kind of organs in mind.
Indeed. And it's still here doing a great job playing today.
And I hope that we can preserve it so that future generations will enjoy this instrument.
Indeed.
If you'd like to see more information about the organ of the Chapel of the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet, it will be on the post for this episode at attheorgan.com. I'll put the video on that post as well. Next time, I'll bring you the audio from a visit to a 1965 Schantz organ that has appeared on At the Organ before. If you're a fan of the videos, we are gearing up for more. There are production dates on the calendar, starting as early as this week. Thank you to all our many supporters and subscribers who make it possible for us to do what we do. Once again, I'll say that if you want to help us continue to make more podcasts and videos, you can do two things. If you have the means, please make a contribution to the Organ Media Foundation. You can do that by going to organ.media and clicking on support. Second, please help us spread the word about the Foundation. Tell your friends, online or in person, about At the Organ, Organ Live, Positively Baroque, The Organ Experience, or our YouTube channel. You can find links to all of them at organ.media. That's it for now. I'm Brent Johnson. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you here next time at The Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening.